Thank you, Brother and Sister Copeland. We appreciated that. And I also want to say I've appreciated their ministry this week and to get acquainted with them. I just can't hardly see her up in a tree stand, though, shooting a deer. But I guess she's more powerful than she looks. Amen. Isn't God good to us? Oh, he's so faithful. Certainly good to see the Hammackers here tonight. I've known Mark and Linda for a long time, before they were ever married. And they actually pastored in Madison, Tennessee, which was my first church. I laid a real good foundation for them. And that was one of my big churches. First service, we had 12, and four of them was my family. But you know what? When I preached there, I felt like I was preaching to 500. The reason is I was in the center of God's will, and God helps. His word will not turn void. Amen? And the Bible tells us to despise not the small things. Amen? What's more benefit to us is that we're in the center of God's will, doing what God wants us to do. Isn't that right? More than anything else. I remember the general presiding officers came by our house. We lived in Frankfort, and we had bought a meat market and custom butchering shop. And you've heard of people saying they lost your shirt. Well, I lost my shirt and my britches too. And wife and I worked two jobs. My wife worked a job so we could pay the money back that we were in debt for. And I had people say, oh, Mark, it's a business. You can declare bankruptcy. But my daddy told me you paid your bills. Amen. Little did I know that a few years down the road, I'd be back there pastoring the church, and I could walk down the street with my head up because I had paid my bills. Amen. I hate to say this, but I know some people can't get their head up because they don't pay their bills. I knew a fellow one time that got saved, and he said when the Lord saved me, he forgave him of everything, and he owed a little widow lady at the grocery store several hundred dollars. Well, I don't believe in that. Do you? When God saves us, we make restitution. Now, I'm not preaching yet, okay? And he changes us. He makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus, and we want to live right and upright. Amen, and serve Jesus Christ. So, God has been so good to me. Amen. I could not tell you if we spent all night long how good God's been to me. He has been so faithful. Amen. Well, did any of you try to make a difference today? Now, you all that were here last night know what I'm talking about. We need to be difference makers. We need to do our best to win the loss for Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm glad I had the privilege of speaking to that gentleman today there in the hospital and letting him know that Jesus still loves everybody. You know, some of us ought to catch on to that. You know, we see people that are in sin, and we say, oh, that sin is so bad. It is. But every sin's bad. And the Word says, if I know anything about it, that Jesus came to forgive us of all of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everybody say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We don't say that kind of stuff much anymore, do we? We've gotten so quiet and nice, and you know, people say, "Well, you're in church. You shouldn't." That stuff's wild. Well, I'll tell you what: when people go to the ball games or the gambling joints, they don't worry about it. Somebody wins the lottery, I can tell you one thing: they're jumping up, down, and screaming and hollering. And I started to say, "Praising the Lord." Amen. Well, God's good. Don't you feel good tonight? It's wonderful to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. If you believe that tonight, stand, and we want to look at the Word of God over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, you've got to understand, I'm not the typical evangelist. And you say, why? Because I pastored. And you know an evangelist can come in and he can just skin you from top to bottom and go on. And then the pastor has to kind of heal all the wounds and give you some turpentine. No, I don't guess you want that, do you? And sometimes has to kind of put things back together. But what my desire is when I come to church that you'll love Jesus more when I leave than when I came. That, to me, is important. And so the truth tonight, I don't know that I've ever heard a preacher preach on this line of truth, but that doesn't say that they didn't, because I haven't heard everybody. I pastored. I hadn't heard everybody. But it's a line of truth that I believe that we need it as God's people. All right? Let us look. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I like this. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. Thank God we're not in darkness tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. That the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light. We ought to say, hallelujah, we're children of the light. We're out of the darkness. God's transformed us, has he not? Children of the light. And the children of day, we are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now this is my text. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself. Help us, Jesus, tonight. Oh, we love you. We appreciate your spirit we've felt tonight. Wonderful singing, Lord. Wonderful congregational number. Wonderful offertory, wonderful spatials, wonderful time of prayer. And Lord, we need your help tonight. We don't have to ask you to come. Lord, you're already here. We just ask you that you would linger among us and help us and anoint us and use us tonight. Speak through us tonight, we pray. Challenge our hearts, oh God. If there's anything we want to do, Lord, we want to be better for you. We want to be better for you, Jesus, more than anything in this world. That we can be a witness to a lost world, a dying world, a hurting world, a world without hope. But we can show them the hope which is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you sit down, turn to that one next to you. Tell them how beautiful they are. Amen. Now, one of the reasons I do that is in case that you lied, we'll have an altar service. Amen. So good to see you all. I told my wife, it's just a pleasure to preach here. It isn't hard. It's easy to preach here. And I appreciate that. I sure do. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of the power of encouragement. What's the definition of encouragement? The act of giving hope or support that inspires confidence and a will to keep on keeping on. I'm serious, folks. If there's any church in the world that needs some help on being an encouragement, is S. Holiness, folks. You know, we have this concept, if you're sanctified, you don't need encouragement. The Greek word for that is baloney. We are human beings, are we not? Just because you're saved and sanctified doesn't change your feelings. You still have feelings, do you not? Oh, Grandma Gibson, bless her heart. We all love Grandma Gibson, didn't we? I liked her spunk. I really did. We were at the Pilgrim Preacher's Retreat one year, and it was on the campus there at Anderson, and she was serving coffee, and she said to me, "Brother Mary, would you like a cup of coffee?" I said, "No." I said, "When I got sanctified, I quit drinking coffee." And she said, "Well, I got sanctified too, but it didn't make me stupid or foolish." Well, I had to tell her that it's because I don't like it. My wife drinks it. My mom and dad drink it. I don't like it. I hate the aftertaste. It would probably be like somebody that was smoking. I don't know. I used to tease them at Frankfurt when I was the camp buyer, and the preachers be on the down the way there, and they'd be drinking coffee, and I'd say, "I'm going to the store. You want me to buy you some cigarettes?" Well, I did. But you know what? The funny thing was, a little later she came back and said, "Oh, Brother Meyer, I shouldn't have said that to you." And I said, "Oh, yes, you should, because I can put it out and I can take it." We all need some encouragement, don't we? I guess you heard the story about the mother that watched her son drain of energy all week long. And every day, by the end of the week, he lost his desire to get out of bed. She heard the alarm to go off in his bedroom, and apparently he just kept punching the snooze 3, 4, 5 times. And finally she walked in and said, "Son, it's time to get up." He peeked out from the covers. "Can you give me a good reason to get up?" She said, "Yes." Said, "First, it's Sunday, time for church. Second, you're 43 years old and you know better. And thirdly, you're the pastor and they want you to show up." You know, sometimes even pastors need encouragement, don't they? Huh? We need to be encouragers. Encourage one another. Now, even leaders get burned out. Even they need, you know, Sunday school teachers and Sunday school superintendents and the janitors. I don't know who the janitor is around here, but you're doing an awesome job. Who is the janitor? You? Oh, I knew it wasn't Warren. I mean, we'd be stepping over papers like crazy if it was up to him. You know, I told my wife, I feel like, you know, this is the first elite church that I've ever been to that had two councilmen, county councilmen that attend the church. Whew, I'm going to go spread the word around where I've been. Encouragement. All of us need encouragement. Encouragement has the power to strengthen and spur others on and motivate and regenerate. Encouragement has the capacity to empower, enrich, energize, edify, elevate, and cause others to excel and exceed beyond their limitations. Well, now you know what's going to happen if you encourage the pastor and brag on him and tell him he preaches good. He's going to get the big head. I want to tell you something, honey. Somebody come along and punch that balloon pretty quick. We need to encourage our pastor. I remember when I was pastoring my second church, and the attendance record was 51, and they had set that with the college choir. And so I went in there, and the Lord was been helping us, and we was running in the high 40s, and I would make an effort to try to have at least 51 or 52, break the record. And every time I would do that, it would just fall flat. Now, there was a reason for that, because there was one family of about 4 or 5 who would always be gone when I wanted to try to break the record. Mm-hmm. And finally, one day, without any kind of push at all, we had 51. I was so excited! I called Dad up. He was pastoring at Wabash at that time. I called Dad up. I said, "Dad, I'll tell you what, I don't know what." I said, "We didn't have any kind of push, and we had 51. I said, "This thing's going to get so big, I won't know what to do with it." He said, "Well, son, don't worry about that. When that happens, they'll call him a pastor." So, friend, I don't care how puffed up you get, somebody will let the air out of your balloon. We need to be encouraged. It can bring emotional healing and restore hope.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Another version says this. Encourage one another and build each other up. Paul said over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. Isn't it something that I heard a fellow preach one time, and he talked about the fall. And he said, you know, we forget, because of the fall, we forget the things that we should remember and remember the things that we should forget. And isn't it strange how, because of the fall, if we're not careful, we fit into the mold of wanting to hear bad all the time instead of hearing good. Lord, help us. Well, let's don't get there. Okay, let us first notice, is encouragement a regular part of your conversation and actions? We have a divine calling to exercise and express encouragement to those around about us. The story was told of a man that was vacationing in the Bahamas, and he noticed a great crowd, and as he got closer, he saw that there was someone that was preparing for a solo journey around the world in a tiny homemade boat. And without exception, everybody was telling him all the things that could happen and go wrong. And suddenly the man could not resist the urge to offer some encouragement. And so as the little boat drifted toward the horizons, he began to jump up and down and shout, go for it! You can make it! We're proud of you! I wonder what had happened if we had some people in the church that would say to the young convert, you can do it! You can do it! We're proud of you! Amen? We wouldn't have near the casualism we have. Do you know tonight there wouldn't be near as many preachers sitting on the pews, not pastoring, if they'd had somebody somewhere to be an encouragement to them? Amen. This man, what he needed was the gift of encouragement. We need fewer critics and more cheerleaders who see over the heads of the naysayers and shout to someone, launch it out in faith. Go for it. You can make it. We're proud of you. Aren't you glad God didn't throw away the clay? Is there anybody here that's never made any mistakes? Would you raise your hand? We're going to have an altar call real quick. We have all made mistakes, have we not? We've all botched a job. Brother Albert Barr said one time, he said, I don't think there's any of us that have it all put together. That's a good thought. You may think you have it all put together, but I want to tell you something. We all need encouragement. Amen? Now I want to tell you something. There's not much room on the critical bench, but there's all kinds of room on the encouragement bench. I heard of a lady one time and said the Lord had just, he had just appointed her to straighten the pastor out. Amen? Boy, it got awful quiet when I said that. Lord, help us. Let's don't be critical of one another. Let's don't be looking at each other. I can tell you that you can find a blemish on any of us. I'm the only one that I know that doesn't have any blemishes. I'm surprised my wife didn't stand up and say, oh, wait a minute. Are you catching on? Aren't you glad that certain visionaries refused to listen to the crowd of the pier? On the pier. Luther refused to back down. Michelangelo kept painting. Lindbergh kept flying. And Papa Tim Boom said yes to frightened Jews. I'm even going to take a little swig of this water. He's put water up here every night and had to empty it. I'll see if he put fresh water. I believe he did. Thank you. That is an encouragement. Solomon writes, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Every one of us can recall a time in our life when someone came by and gave us a word of encouragement that lifted our spirits and helped us through our battle. You know, I think we ought to ask God just to help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
I don't know. You say, what's wrong with the church? I don't really know what's wrong with the church. Is the church different than it was 50 years ago? Yes, the church is different than it was 50 years ago. I was raised in a church that was so on fire, you didn't know what was going to happen next. In fact, there was Acts Day services, we didn't even get to take the offering. You say, well, bless God, I know what it is. No, I don't think you know what it is, because it came upon us in a subtle way. A subtle way. Just a little here and just a little there. It was a subtle, subtle way. But I believe that if God can help you and I to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know the Holy Spirit still does His work. Amen. He is still moving. He's still doing new things and wonderful things. And if some way we could just be quiet enough before God that the Holy Spirit could talk to us, we could be an encouragement to a whole lot more people. You know, we come in here, we dress all up and we look nice, and we come in, we put a smile on, and everybody looks at us and says, oh, they don't have any trouble. But the Holy Spirit sometimes says, Mark, pray for so-and-so. Huh? Does the Holy Spirit ever say that to you? Sure He does. Be open to the Holy Spirit. And when He does, we need to offer encouragement to that one. We never know what each and every one of us are going through. We need to offer that encouragement. Well, is there someone you know who needs encouragement? What about the prisoner that's trying to stay strong in a hostile environment while repaying his debt to society? What about the divorcee trying to build their life again? What about the breadwinner who's out of work and worried about their family? What about the widow who needs companionship? A servant of God laboring in obscure and difficult ministry? A church leader you see struggling, carrying a heavy load? Someone you know is struggling in their faith? Or someone who is discouraged or grieving over the lost loved one? Everyone is struggling some way or another, and we need encouragement. Amen. Oh, not the sanctified heart. Oh, yes, the sanctified heart needs encouragement. You know, I hate to say this. I really do. I hear people say, well, the Holiness Church, they do this and they do that. I want to tell you what, every church does that. We have had a Baptist church in our town that split three times, built three different churches. Amen. We had a Christian church down the street from us. They started two other Christian churches. They had more preachers there than in my lifetime than any church in town that I know of. So I don't care what the name is on the church, people are people wherever you go. Right? And if we're not careful, we get to the place where somebody gets down, we throw them away. You act like you're afraid to say amen tonight. This is good truth for us. We need this kind of truth, even if I am preaching it. Amen? And if a preacher falls by the wayside, we throw him away. He's never good anymore. God forbid. Every preacher has a soul. Even if he does mess up, he still has a soul, and God can save him and forgive him. There is no sin too big for the God I serve. Not too many years ago, young preacher, he messed up. I heard about it. I called him up. I'm sure when he saw who it was, he didn't answer it because he was so embarrassed. But I left a little note and I said, I called him a name. I said, I have a parsonage across the street from the church that we're not using. If you'll come down here, I'll let you move into that parsonage and we'll do our best to help you. Amen? Come on. Say amen.
We need to encourage one another. It doesn't make any difference what it is. God wants us to be able to encourage each other. We need to do our best to get everybody to heaven, no matter who they are, which side of the tracks they're on, or how deep in sin they've ever been. We need to do our best to encourage them to make it to heaven. William Barclay said, one of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. He said, it is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It's easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It is easy to discourage others. But the world is full of such discouragers. But we have a duty and a divine calling to encourage one another. Do you know what? Just a simple pat on the back sometimes works. What is that? A word of praise, appreciation, and thanks have kept many a man or woman on their feet. Amen. Encouragement. Titus was an encourager. Paul talked about how discouraged he was, and Titus came along and encouraged the church. And you and I need to use the Titus effect in this day to encourage one another. Amen. We are rarely in a situation where there isn't someone we can encourage. You know, sometimes it's just a little word. I remember a year ago when we had outreach and bus convention out in Pennsylvania, and Brother James Plank and I went to the restaurant. And when we got ready to pay our bill, in fact, I bought for Brother Jim. Isn't that nice of me? Now, he's bought for me, too. And I paid the bill, and I said to the girl, I said, this is a wonderful day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice in it. And she looked at me, and she said, that's pretty good. Just a little bit of encouragement to the cashier can go a long way. Encouragement, encouraging one another. We are rarely in a situation where we cannot find somebody that needs to be encouraged. Our tendency, however, is to often criticize instead of encourage. Now, you know it may be important at times to point out someone's shortcomings, but before we do, the right thing to do, we should build the person's trust through encouragement. I remember the story about Evangelist Smith. He was pastor in the church, had a fellow in the church that every time he testified, it was nothing but discouragement. Have you ever been around anybody like that? You could have a good service going, and they could get up and just kill the whole thing. Have you? Huh? And they didn't need any encouragement to do it either. And they were having their annual meeting, and so Brother Smith got up, and before they had the annual meeting, he stood and called the fellow by name and said, I want you to stand. And everybody thought he was going to ask him to pray. And he said, would you give us a word of discouragement? I don't want to be like that, do you? Huh? I want to be an encourager in the Lord and encourage my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Well, thirdly, hey, we're getting along pretty good, aren't we? Third point, it's the longest. I'm encouraging you. Are you encouraged? Are you prepared today to use the power of encouragement? Now, there's no better, and I mentioned this last night, no better exercise to strengthen your heart than stooping to lift somebody else up. And think about it. Your best friends are the ones who encourage you, who wants to hang around with somebody who is always putting you down. We don't do that, do we? We don't like to be around people that are always talking about discouragement. I mean, always down in the mouth. Do you like that kind? I had a fellow came to my church. He was that way. I was up preaching one time, and this is what he said out loud. He said, none of the preachers visit the nursing home anymore. And it got me. It really did. And I stopped and I said, sir, you're looking at one that does, and if you want to, you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and follow me around town and see what happens. But the Holy Spirit checked me. Said, Mark, you don't need to tell the whole church that. Amen? Be an encouragement to that guy. Amen? And that's what I tried to do. And I want to tell you what happened. When he died, I mean, he was the biggest grump in the world. But when he got sick and went into the nursing home, I mean, his life turned around. He was praising the nurses, thanking them for everything. Everybody just loved to go in his room because there was such a change in attitude in him. And he was become a discourager all of his life, but now he's an encourager. And when he died, what little he had, he left it to our church. Whoo! That encouraged me. William James, an American psychologist and philosopher, said, "The deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated." Pastor, have you ever gone home after preaching hard on a Sunday night? Nothing happened. And wondered, "Lord, why did I have to do it?" I mean, defeated. Well, I want to tell you something. I have one encourager in my life. You want to know why I bring Becky everywhere I go? Because she's the best supporter I have. And she says, "Oh, Mark, I didn't notice that you were struggling tonight. I thought you did well." And you know what I do? I kiss her three times and hug her twice. Come on, folks. Let me tell you something. You ought to be a pastor just about 30 days. You ought to be a pastor's wife for just about 30 days. You wouldn't criticize the pastor and the ministry like you do if you just had 30 days of it. It can be a lonely time. It can be a time when you feel like you don't know who you can go to talk and put confidence in. Amen? I want to tell you something. That's the reason, brother and sister Gibson and us got along so good. We could just love each other and encourage one another. And we knew they were true friends. You could talk about something and you knew they wasn't going to go tell on you. Huh? You know what? We all need somebody like that. To encourage us. To encourage us. Why did you say all that, preacher? I don't know, but the Lord told me to. Most of us think wonderful things about people, but we never tell them. Praise becomes valuable only when we impart or convey it to someone else. Isn't it strange when people die how nice they are all of a sudden? Huh? And then you wonder, why didn't I tell them how much I appreciated them before they died? Amen? You know, why don't we send some flowers before they die? Funeral flowers are pretty expensive, and just regular flowers are a lot cheaper. Why don't we encourage one another? At school, we are encouraged to catch them doing good as opposite to catching them doing bad. Scientists have proved that people perform much better when placed in an encouragement environment. Don't be like the old hard-hearted husband. After 30 years of marriage, his wife was ready to throw in the towel and said, "I've had it with living you." He said, "Why?" He said, she said, "You never tell me you love me." And he said, "I did when we got married. If it changes, I'll tell you." You know, there's a whole message right there on relationship between a husband and a wife. Amen. Sir, you need to respect your wife and love her and let her know how good she is. Amen. And it works the other way. Listen to me, ladies. Listen. You need to respect your husband and you need to love him and you need to brag on him and you need to encourage him and you need to help him fulfill his dreams in life, because that's what makes a happy marriage. 50 years of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm starting on my next 50. Oh, help us, Jesus. Settle down, Mark. Settle down. One has said one of the commodities in life that most people can't get enough is compliments. The ego is never so intact that one cannot find a hole in which to plug a little praise. Compliments by their very nature are highly biodegradable and tend to solve hours or days after we receive them, which is why we can always use another encouragement. You know, isn't it something how the devil works? I've got it all figured out. I went to visit a fellow one time. He
I had dedicated his grandbaby. He came for the dedication. The mother had been raised up in our church in Sunday school anyway, and I dedicated the grandbaby, and he came. And so we were getting ready for Easter service, and I thought, well, I'll stop out by his house, and I'll invite him to church. And so I stopped out, and he was in his garage working on a motorcycle. And I said, "Hello, I'm Travis Johnson." That's my son-in-law. And, well, he was working. I don't think he heard what I said, at least I hope not. But I went on in, he was working on, and I started talking to him, and I invited him to church, and no, he said, "I have my church right here in this garage," and he just went on and on, told me all the reasons why, you know, that he didn't get to go to the church, because the church didn't agree with the way one of his children had turned out, and they didn't think it was sin. He said that they were born that way, and he knew it. He said, "You know why? I've got it all figured out, why the Lord made the devil." Well, I thought, this is going to be very profound. He said that the Lord wanted somebody to blame when something went wrong. With theology like that, I wiped the dust off. Have you ever heard tell of such? Isn't the devil mean? Isn't the devil mean? You know what? The devil wants us to think things that we should never think. He wants us to envision things that we should never envision. He wants to tell us things that will never, ever happen. The devil is mean. And that's the reason we need each other. We need to encourage one another. Praise God. Have you ever been so discouraged that you felt like giving up? Craig Dowler told me one day, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I was so discouraged that I had to pull my socks down to see." That's pretty low, isn't it? If any of you know Craig Dowler, you can understand him saying something like that. And the devil wants to get us down so low that we're so discouraged, he wants us to throw up our hands in despair and say, "Well, there is just no use. I can't make it." He's a liar. And the word says he's the father of lies. You can be assured when the devil's after you, he doesn't have you. Amen? He is a liar. Well, when you feel down, what you need to do is go sow a seed of hope and encourage someone else. The Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall watereth also himself. The Bible says if we give, it shall come back to us. Thank God it will. Power through the Bible we see. Throughout the Bible we see people exercising power. Moses was an encourager. Hezekiah was an encourager. Josiah was an encourager. And the Apostle Paul was an encourager. And down the line, I'm trying to cut some of this down. Say amen to that. Encourage me. The Bible is written to encourage. In Romans 5:14 it says that for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. How much hope are we giving people today? Amen? Now this is the last, the conclusion. It's only 8 points. 8 ways that you can use the power of encouragement. Pretty good outline, isn't it? Huh? One way is by speaking a pleasant word. Proverbs says, "A pleasant word bring healing to the bones." Lift someone up by telling them how much you appreciate a certain positive quality in them. You heard about the lady that she just spoke well of everybody. I'd like to be that way. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd like to be that way. That's a good quality to have. You see, and so the town drunk, the worst one in town, he died. And so they went up and sat down on the porch and when she's sitting there in the rocking chair and said, "Well, what do you think about old so-and-so?" She thought for a minute and she said, "He's a good whistler." You know what? We'd be a whole lot better off if we wouldn't be telling things that we shouldn't be, that are bad things. It doesn't edify anybody. God, help me to be one, amen, that sees the good in everybody. You say, "Now, wait a minute, preacher, you can't be that." Oh, we have to preach against sin. We do, and we will. Amen? But we need to do our best to seek out the best in each and every one of us that it might honor and glorify God. Speaking. Tell someone how much you appreciate them. Then appropriate, share a scripture that would help in hard times. Words can be precious gifts. Do your best to speak to someone and encourage them. I have made it a practice in my ministry. Every time I leave the church, everyone that sings a special, they get a handshake from Brother Mary, and he says that, I appreciated that. You say, well, they sang off tune. Well, I appreciate they had the nerve to do it. Amen? I remember one time they was having a talent contest when I was just a little kid. I mean, just young. And Dad told the story about a preacher, and if I tell you who he was, every one of us would know who he is. And one of the boys from the church, after he preached, went up and shook hands with him and told him he did a good job. And at home, his mom said to him, said, why in the world did you go up and tell him that he did such a good job? He said, well, I thought if he had the nerve to do it, I ought to encourage him. Amen. Come on. I'll tell you what, they became evangelistic singers in their day. Encouragement. I remember a young man in our church at Wabash that got saved out of the rough and the raw. His wife did too, and they got married, and a little later in life he felt like he ought to preach, and his wife said, called him a name, said, you could never preach. You'll never make a preacher. And he didn't. He backslid. Went back out into deep sin. He'd never make a preacher. You'd better be careful. You need to encourage people in the Lord. You need to strengthen them. You don't know what they're going through in life, and you need to be an encourager. Another thing is, write something. The New Testament epistles were encouragement notes to the church. You don't have to write anything great big long page, but a postcard or a birthday card or a text. Brother Mark Dodrell, several years ago, every Saturday night I'd get a text from Brother Dodrell saying, praying for you, took your name to the throne of God. Oh, that was an encouragement to me. I remember after I retired, wife and I, we were away for 2 10-day camp meetings, and we had a weekend between, and so we were gone for 30 days. And we came back, and I thought maybe I should stay away from the church for 3 or 4 months, you know, And my pastor said, oh, no, I don't want you to. I want you to be here. Amen? That's pretty good, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful, Brother Keith, to be able to come back to a church where you've pastored? Isn't it wonderful? I told him not long ago, I said, thank you for letting me come to my own church. I could be driving 40 miles to church, but I get to come right here. Amen? And so it was on a Sunday morning, and I don't know about you preachers, but Sunday morning were pretty busy for me. And I'd go down to the office and go over my notes. Sometimes I'd even get notes on Sunday morning. Huh? Now don't say anything, people. They might say, well, I thought that message was just a short thing, you know. And I told my wife, I said, I can't just sit here, I gotta do something. I said, I know what I'm gonna do. I got my phone out. And I started going down the list, and I started texting some young preachers saying, I'm praying for you, asking God to help you, asking God to strengthen you, 25 to 30 every Sunday. Now, there's a few Sundays I don't. When I'm out in revival meeting, I don't have as much time, but I try to text different ones, not the same ones every week. I try to text some of those that have been there a while. I know what that's like. One of the boys had been to his church. He was celebrating his 20th year. And I sent him a little text. And I said, I've been there. By the way, can I tell you another secret? The most successful ministry and growth of a church is a pastor that stays a long term. It's good for the church. It's good for the pastor's family. And it's good for the community. Everybody said amen. Well, I don't think you're going to get too many votes against you. Looks pretty good.
So I text this guy, been there 20 years. I knew what it was like when I was there 10 years. I knew what it was like when I was there 20 years. I knew what it was like when I was there 30 years. And I just felt like that morning I needed to encourage him. I called him a name. I said, I believe in you. You're a good pastor. And I'm praying that God would touch your ministry today and may it be a success for Jesus Christ. He sent me back a text and said, thank you. I always appreciate your text. After church, on my way home, my phone rang and I looked and he was there. I said, oh, Brother Mowry, what a service we had this morning. He said, the altar was lined and the front seat was lined. The seekers, thank you for praying for me. You say, did your prayers do that? No, but my prayers encouraged that man to trust Jesus Christ. And God came through. Text somebody. Write something to somebody. Tell them that you appreciate them. Tell them that you're praying for them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you are their friend. Tell them if they need you to call upon you. Writing. Just the presence. Being in the presence of somebody is an encouragement. When people have a death in the family, go to the funeral home or go to the funeral. Let them know that you love them. Encourage them through the battles of life. Amen? The psalmist said, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, but often the Lord sends us in person on behalf. A touching, just putting your hand on somebody's shoulder and saying, I appreciate you, or I appreciate what you did today. Well, thank you for working on the church, or thank you for cleaning the church. Thank you for cleaning the church. I'll let your husband pat your shoulder right now. Just a handshake. I mean, I forget who it was tonight, but some young lady shook my hand, and boy, she had a handshake. I said, the one next to me, she must milk cows. I like that. Not an old limp handshake, but get a good handshake. Let somebody know that you appreciate them. You say, preacher, we don't need this kind of preaching. Yes, we do need this kind of preaching. Maybe not quite so long, but helping. Sometimes people feel like a laden ocean liner needing a tugboat to nudge them into a safe dock. And helpers are ordinarily skilled to encourage others. You may need to help somebody that doesn't know how to sew and you mend for them. Or a widow lady when you go and mow their yard or clean their yard up. Or rock the baby for some mother or an invalid to the doctor. Or show up with an old pickup or a pickup and help somebody move. I'm sure this church does. That. If we didn't, we ought to. Amen. Helping. Giving. Proverbs says a righteous person gives without sparingly. Givers recognize situations where money, food, clothing, or the loan of equipment will better lift people out of their discouragement and into encouragement. Some simply give beauty like a bouquet of flowers from the garden. Hospitality. Invite somebody over. Feed them. I used to tell my people, do everything but sin to get people to come to church. Take them home for dinner. Amen? Amen. Bake them a pie. Treat them with kindness. Praying is the greatest thing that we can use for encouragement. Help us pray. Help us pray one for another. Why not offer to pray with someone who you know needs encouragement? Right then. There's nothing in it better than seeing somebody and they begin to pour their heart out to you. I don't care where you are. You say, I'm too embarrassed to do it in the store. That doesn't make any difference to me. Lay my hand on their shoulder and pray that God will help them. One of the most tragic things I had in my ministry, I got a call one Saturday morning from a backslidden Pilgrim Holiness lady. Her daddy was a Pilgrim Holiness preacher. And she said, oh, Mark, come, we need you. And I went over there. Her daughter, her granddaughter, her granddaughter's boyfriend, they were all under the influence
of drugs. It was a terrible situation in sight. The young man, he knew nothing about God. And I laid my hands on him and prayed for him that God would touch him and strengthen him mentally, physically, and spiritually. And when the granddaughter came in, she saw me. She threw her arms around me. She called me Grandpa. And she hugged me and I hugged her. And I prayed over her that God would deliver her. I want to tell you something, folks. We need to be an encouragement to a lost and dying world. Amen. That was the eighth one. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise is like sunshine to warm the human spirit. We cannot flower and grow without it. We need to never underestimate the power of encouragement. God, help us to encourage one another. I hope you got a little something out of this tonight. It's going to be an awful big disencouragement to me. I had a lady say, oh, I want you to pray for my husband, said he's disencouraged. I think I knew what she's talking about. Have you ever been disencouraged? Let's be an encouragement one to another. Will you do that? Let's pray and ask God to help us over the weekend. God wants to do some good things for us, church. I believe that with all of my heart. If I didn't think he would, I'd get in that old van and I'd head to Frankfort, Indiana tonight. But I believe God's got some good things for us around here if we'll just be obedient to him. Now, if you'll come back tomorrow night, I'll try not to preach so long. It just took me so long because Mark Hammaker was here. That's the only reason. We appreciate you all. Stand together. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to challenge us. I tried to challenge us last night. To be difference makers. Take a chance tomorrow. Find somebody that you can cheer their life up. Will you do that? And then think of somebody right here in this church that needs some encouragement. And let's encourage one another. Everybody say amen. Will you do that? By the help and the grace of God, will you do that? Say amen. Amen. Not quite as strong as the other one. But, you know, I can't make you do something you don't want to do. Amen. Jesus, help us, we pray. We ask, Lord, that you help us as we go our way. Give us a good night's rest, we pray. Help us tomorrow and those that have to work so hard. We ask that you would give them strength. Bring us back tomorrow night with our cups right side up, trusting and believing you for greater things. In Jesus' name, we say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Lord bless you.